Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Kiddushin is Yud Aleph. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. We are in Yud Amud Beis. We're continuing a discussion in the Gemara regarding Kiddushei Biyah. Kiddushei Biyah, the last topic that's come up in the Mishnah. Last topic comes up in the first line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about the three ways that a man's Makadosh a woman. One is Bekesef, two is Bishtar, and three is Bibiya. So we're talking now about Kiddushei Biyah. Kiddushei Biyah, we have yet to discuss the Chachamim's attitude towards Kiddushei Biyah, but the Biyah itself is a method in which a man is kohen a woman and arrives at the conclusion of the man and woman being married to one another. The Gemara's question that they asked yesterday on the bottom of Yud Amud Aleph was that when a man's Mekadosh a woman through Kiddushei Biyah, so what stage of marriage does that get you to? Does that get you into the first stage of marriage where now they are husband and wife, but only through only what we call the stage of Kiddushin or Erusin? Or maybe no. Maybe Kiddushei Biyah actually gets you to the second stage of marriage as well, and it gets you to Nisuin. And as I mentioned yesterday, intuitively, I think we understand the Gemara's question. If a man gives a woman money, so Kesef is a Kenyan. Her status changes, but in other words, there's still another stage of marriage to go through. And if a man gives a woman a contract, so once again, her status changes, but it doesn't fully concretize the marriage. But if a man's Mekadosh woman with Bibiyah, and they know each other intimately, so he can at least intuitively understand the Gemara. The Gemara's question is, okay, now what's left? Meaning they were together, husband and wife. They were together intimately. So is there another stage that they have to go through in order to be quote unquote more married? So that was the Gemara's question yesterday, and the Gemara cited a number of brises attempting to resolve this question. We now are on the top of Yud Amud Beis, and the Gemara is going to continue discussing this question using a brisa as a platform to discuss this very question. Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here. It's on Yud Amud Beis. It's about 6-7 lines from the top of the Amud. First word in the line is Betruma, and we continue. So Ukvar Shalach Rav Yochan ben Bagbag Eitzel Rav Yehuda ben Besera. So a correspondence that takes place between Tanayim, early Tanayim, Yochanan ben Bagbag, together with Rav Yehuda ben Besera. Rav Yehuda ben Besera, who lives in the town of Netzivan. I always think of the Gemara in the beginning of Pesachim, where Yehuda ben Besera, for whatever reason, Tosfos discusses over there, for whatever reason, he wasn't in Yerushalayim for the Karban Pesach. They lived during the Baisheni, these Tanayim. And he wasn't in Yerushalayim during Pesach. And there was a guy who kept going to Yerushalayim during Pesach. And Rav Yehuda ben Besera smoked him out. Okay, I see the Gemara over there in the beginning of Pesachim. It's not, I think, Dav Gimel. The beginning of the Gemara Pesachim, where the Gemara discusses the story in length, but in some detail. But meanwhile, these are earlier Tanayim. They lived during Baisheni. So Yochanan ben Bagbag together with Rabbi Yehuda ben Besera, and here's how the correspondence went. Shamati alecha shata omer arusa bas Yisrael. Ochelas Betruma. I heard that you're of the opinion that Narusa Bas Yisrael, meaning she's a Bas Yisrael, she married a Kohen, and they only went through the first stage of marriage, Erusin. And I heard that you said that she can eat Truma. Now, Shalach Lo Ve'ataya Tomer Kain. So the correspondence that came back, Rav Yehuda ben Besera's response is, really? You don't think that's right? Of course that's right. So Mukhzani Bach Shata Baki Bechadre Torah Lajush Bekava Chomer. So you're a Baki Betorah and you know how to apply the principles of Kava Chomer. Iyata Yodea. And let's think about this. Meaning, I'm going to provide for you a logical argument that of course a girl who's married to a Kohen, and even though at the first stage of marriage, she's entitled to eat Truma. It makes perfect sense. And let's think about the following Kava Chomer. Uma Shivcha Kananis Shem Biasa Ma'achilasa. Now Shivcha Kananis. Now, how is a Kohen Kona a Shivcha Kanan? It's not through Bia. In other words, he can't have Bia with her. It's a she's not a Bas Yisrael. But in other words, he purchases her. And how does he purchase her? With money. So Ma Shivcha Kanan Shein Biasa Machilaso, and Bia wouldn't create a kinyan between the Shivcha Kananis and the Kohen and the Kohen. And meanwhile, Kesef, of course, does. So, Kaspa Machilasa. And once he acquires her with money, so that gives her the right now to eat. She is considered Kenyan Kaspo of the Kohen. Kasba machilas b'truma. Zu shebiyasa machilas b'truma. Eino din she kasba machilas b'truma. So now let's talk about a kohen together with his new wife. If the bia is going to enable her to eat truma, which it would, because what does bia mean? Bia means now they're married. So kesef lo kol shekain. So kesef for sure should be allowed to marry her. So again, think what we're learning from. Think what we're learning too from the case of shifcha kanan is we find that bia doesn't do anything, and meanwhile kesef does. In the case of kohen with his wife. So Bia creates a kinyan. Well, if Bia creates a kinyan, so then for sure Kesef should create a kinyan and allow her to eat truma. This is the argument provided by Rav Yehuda ben Becerra in arguing that a woman who went through the stage of Erusin with her Kohen husband is now allowed to eat truma. Now, that's the argument of a ma'aseh. But then Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says, look, my logical argument is great. However, what the Chachamim did is the Chachamim blocked her ability to eat Truma until she gets into the second stage of marriage. But until that point in time, she is a... And we're going to discuss later why it is that she can't eat truma, and we know already. I mean, we've seen this before in the Gemara. Okay, so what we have in this brice is the following correspondence between Rav Yehuda ben Becerra and Rav Yochan ben Bagbag, and they're basically arguing over the feasibility of a Bas Yisrael who's married to a Kohen, stage one of marriage, either through Kesef or through Bia. Where is she entitled Minat Torah to eat Truma? So Rav Yehuda ben Becerra's answer is emphatically yes, of course she is, but the Chachamim blocked. Okay, that's the Braisa. And now the Gemara is going to analyze the Braisa from the perspective of our question. Our question, the Gemara's question is, what does Bia do? Does Bia get you to stage one of marriage, or does Bia get you all the way into both stages of marriage? So the Gemara analyzes the Braisa from the following perspective. So the Gemara says, now, what are we talking about? Are we talking about Bia for the second stage of marriage? Are we talking about Kesef together? Bia together with Chuppah and Kesef together with Chuppah. But Tavayim, Mecha Achla. Well, of course, in both of those cases, she's going to eat Truma. Meaning, that's a married woman in both of those cases. So, Ve'ela Bebia Shayide Chuppah. Ve'Kesef Shalayide Chuppah. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe the contrast over here is where it was Bia together with Chuppah and it was Kesef by itself. So the Gemara says, really? That's what we're contrasting? Hacha Tartiv Acha Chada. Well, that's not a fair comparison. If I have Bia together with Chuppah, so then we went through two stages. And if I have Kesef by itself, we only went through one stage. How would it be even fair to compare those two scenarios? One is two and the other is one. So, Elalav, Bia Shalayideh Chuppah, Kesef Shalayideh Chuppah. Okay. So it must be that we're comparing not apples and oranges, but we're comparing oranges and oranges. And what's the comparison? The comparison is a woman who has undergone kiddushin through Bia, and a woman who's undergone kiddushin through Kesef. Must be. Because again, we're making a comparison between the two. So it has to be one-to-one comparison. Now that we're here, so let's ask the following question. If a man is mekadosh a woman through Bia, which is one means in which a man can be mekadosh a woman, versus a man who's mekadosh a woman through Kesef, which is another way. What's the difference between them? Meaning, what was the argument that Rav Yehuda ben Becerra was using? Well, if Bia works, well then for sure Kesef works. Well, why should that be a strong argument? The Gemara says, "Ah, Eureka! That must be it." The Gemara says, "Fantastic! It must be that Bia by itself creates not one stage of marriage, but the Bia by itself creates two stages of marriage." Oh, now you understand the argument of Yehuda ben Becerra. And now it's brilliant. If Bia can create two stages of marriage and allow a woman to eat her truma, well, kesef by itself for sure can, because again, the kal v'chomer comes from the shivcha kananis. Bia does nothing. Kesef creates a kinyan for shivcha kananis. Now let's go to a woman. Bia allows her to eat. How do we know that? It must be that Rav Yehuda ben Bezerra is thinking that bia gets you from not only through stage one, but into stage two as well. And now the strength of the argument is, well, if bia does that and she can eat truma, kesef by itself for sure would allow her to eat truma. That is the argument. However, once again, if Bia and Kesef only get you through the first stage of marriage, so then how can one be so confident about, oh, she's allowed to eat truma, and the other one, well, I'm not sure. It's the same. So that is right now the Gemara's argument based on this brisa, that it must be that Bia, Kiddushe Bia gets you to stage one and to stage two. The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Nachma Yitzchak L'Olam Emelcha BeBia Shaydei Chupa VeKesef Shaydei Chupa." So Rav Nachma Yitzchak says, "Let me. I'll deflate the entire argument and look. Really, in this brisa that Rav Yehuda ben Bezerra is arguing, really, it's Bia together with Chupa, and it's Kesef together with Chupa. That's all. That's the discussion." Sorry, let me do that again. Let me do it correctly. It is Bia Sha'al Yidei Chupa, Bia coupled together with Chupa, and Kesef Shalo Al Yidei Chupa. And it's Kesef by itself. Now, okay, sorry, that's the correct way to deflate the argument. Now, what was your problem with suggesting that? Udikamart Hachatar Tivacha Chada. Now, the problem with that is, how can I compare Bia together with Chupa and Kesef by itself? One is two and the other is one. So kal v'chomer mia isa. The Gemara says no. It's still kal v'chomer because consider hachishalachlei umashiv chakanan shein biyasa machilasa b'truma. Let's start again from the beginning of the kal v'chomer. Shivcha kanan is the only thing that allows her to eat truma is kesef, not bia. Umafila yidei chupa kaspa machilasa below chupa, and even if there was bia together with chupa. Now, of course, that's ridiculous. We're talking about a shivcha kananis, but that's exactly the point. Bia under no circumstance would work when it comes to shivcha kananis. Bia with chupa, bia without chupa, it doesn't matter. And yet, when it comes to the shivcha kananis, kesef by itself creates the kinyan. Okay, so that's the starting point of the kal v'chomer. Zu shibiyasa ma'achilasa b'truma ayidei chupa. Now, and we talk about a kohen with his wife, where there, bia with chupa will allow her to eat truma. Ein odin shekaspa ma'achilasa b'truma below chupa. So shouldn't kesef now allow her to eat even without chupa? Meaning, again, it's the same basic point, but now in this revised argument of Rav Yehuda ben Bezerra, what we've done basically is we have demonstrated that the brisa doesn't have to be talking about bia by itself. It's bia together with chupa. And the argument is, well, look, by the shivcha kananis, bia does nothing. Bia with chupa, bia without chupa, bia does nothing. And meanwhile, kesef works. So now, if I go to the next stage of the argument, a kohen with his wife, where bia does work. Now, bia, albeit, only works together with chupa, but bia does work, so kesef for sure should work. That's the argument. But you don't have to say that bia by itself works. Bia only works together in conjunction with chupa. Ava ma esa shari amru chacham imena rutsu b'asishol ochals b'truma achi tzikanas l'chupa. And then the Gemara quotes the end of the brisa, but look, even though my kal v'chomer is so strong and it allows a Bas Yisrael to eat truma the moment she goes through Erusin with a Kohen, but still when all said and done, ultimately she can't do so. The Chachamim blocked her from doing so. Now here, the Gemara adds two words, which we didn't see earlier, Mishum de Ula. And the reason why is because of the reason that was explained to us by Ula. Meaning Ula taught us, and we saw this a week ago in the Masechta, back on Daf A, that the reason why an Arusa is not allowed to eat Truma, even though Minatar she is. And we just learned that right now, that Minatar she is. But the reason why is because she doesn't live together with her husband, the Kohen. He's going to give her Truma. She's not going to be able to finish it. She'll wrap it up in a doggy bag. She'll go back to her parents' home. And she'll show off, hey, look what my Arusa is able to eat. And it's delicious. And you want to try some? And so the Chachamim were worried that she may take home some of the Truma and feed it to her family. And that is why the Chachamim blocked an Arusa from eating Truma. Once she's in a Suwa, she's living together with the Kohen, obviously then it would be fine for her to eat Truma. Okay. Uben Bagbag, Gabi Shivcha Kananis. And now, as far as Ben Bagbag is concerned, what if you were standing there and you were listening to the argument of Rav Yehuda ben Becerra? Because so far, all we've done is say over the argument of Rav Yehuda ben Becerra. All right, we tweaked it a little bit, but that's all we've been doing. Ben Bagbag clearly didn't like it. But we don't know why he didn't like it, and the Gemara now explains. Ben Bagbag's refutation on the Braisa is so simple. He says, what are we comparing? Shivcha Kananis. So what does a Kohen do in order to acquire the Shivcha Kananis? Pays money. There's nothing more to do. That's it. Sale complete. There is no sheer Bikinyana. However, when a Kohen marries a woman and gives her Kesef Kiddushin, okay, that's only step one. There's another step coming up ahead, which is Chuppah. So Ben Bagbag will simply say, how can you compare the Kesef of a Shivcha Kananis where there the sale is finalized after the Kesef? Meanwhile, when it comes to a Kohen and his wife, it's not finalized after the Kesef. There's still Chuppah. So a very, very simple way that Ben Bagbag will just simply refute the argument of Rav Yehuda ben Becerra. Okay, Adkan. All right. So far, what have we gained from all this? Our question of what is being accomplished? Step one or step one and step two? We don't know. Meaning, it is not compelling from this brisa whether bia by itself gets you through both stages of marriage. We go on in the Gemara. Ravina Amar Midaraisa Mishapshita Le Da'achla. The Ravina says that Minatara, it is obvious that she is able to eat truma, meaning an arusa. And the only discussion between Rav Yehuda ben Becerra and Ben Bagbag was only on a din de Rabbanon, on a rabbinic plane. And the Gemara says, Vahachi Shalachla. And now here's what we're going to do. We're going to basically go over the same give and take between Rav Yehuda ben Becerra and Ben Bagbag, but over here, their starting assumption is that min haTorah she's allowed to eat truma. Shamati alacha shata omer arusa bas Yisrael chalas b'truma v'lo chayesh l'simpon. I heard that arusa bas Yisrael is allowed to eat truma, and you're not worried about simpon. Simpon, a word you're going to hear a couple times over the course of this morning. What does simpon mean? A simpon in this context means that she's going to have a physical blemish. Okay. A man marries a woman. She has a physical blemish that is covered. Okay, because she's a tznua. She's a modest woman, and she covers the physical blemish. However, what she doesn't do is she doesn't tell her husband about the physical blemish. And then he discovers the physical blemish. So that is what's called a mekach tos. And that would undo the marriage altogether. So now, what are we worried about? The truma marries a bas yisrael, and she's an arusa. And min haTorah, she's allowed to eat truma. But the concern is that there may be a point of discovery where he discovers a simpon, and then mekachtos, and the marriage will be no good. The word itself, simpon, Rashi actually does a little bit of etymology. If you take a look at Rashi, right alongside where we are in the Gemara, simpon kol davar mevato davar kari simpon. Anything which is a deal breaker, says Rashi, that is termed simpon. Kigon shover. Have a simpon shoshtar, v'shnei mochzen. The Gemara Bava Metzia, Rashi quotes, describes a receipt. A receipt is a deal breaker. It's a note breaker. Yeah, of course. Because if I have a note against somebody, but he has a receipt, so his receipt's going to break my note. So anything which is a deal breaker is called a simpon. V'kankari simpon davra mevata sekidushin. Oh, it's a mekach shalavet. So if you are marrying a woman, and you give her the kesef kedushin, so if she has a blemish, that will be a kedushin breaker. That's why it's called the simpon. In a moment, we're going to talk about somebody purchasing a shivcha kananis, and she has a blemish. That's going to be also mechachtos, and that's going to be a deal breaker as well. Okay, that's the Rashi says that's the term simpon. So anyway, so back to our Gemara, Ravina says this is the entire debate between Rav Yehuda ben Becerra and Rav Yochanan ben Bagbag as to whether or not min haTorah the arusa is allowed to eat truma if she gone through the first stage of marriage with a kohen. And the only thing left for discussion is maybe we're concerned of simpon. And here we go now with the same exchange that we saw previously. But again, they're only debating on the din derabanan. So once again, here we go. We know that when it comes to Shivcha Kananis, Bia does nothing. to create a relationship between a Kohen and a Shifcha Kananis. She's not allowed to eat Truma through Bia. Bia doesn't do anything. And meanwhile, Kasef, of course, makes an acquisition. V'lo Chayshin L'Simpon. And when it comes to Shifcha Kananis, once he gives Kasef and he buys her, we're not worried about Simpon. And Zush Biyasa Machilasa Bachuma, Ainudin Shikasba Machilasa Bachuma, Volonechash La Simpon. And now, if a Kohen marries a woman and he gives her the Kesef Kiddushin, so just like in the case of Shifcha Kananis, where we're not worried about Simpon, so too when a man marries a woman, a Kohen marries a woman, we shouldn't be worried about Simpon. And let her eat the Chuma, even on a Durabanan level. However, I know Rav Yehuda ben Bezira says that the Chachamim still don't allow it, even though I just constructed an argument that I think it should be allowed. By the way, just as an interesting point over here, the Gemara is using Kal v'chomers to clarify Dinei D'Rabbanan. It's unusual. I'm sure it happens elsewhere in Shas, and I can't think of another time, but that doesn't mean anything. It just simply means that right now I'm focused on today's daf, and it doesn't come to my head. But like, just as a mental note, the Gemara right now is discussing a Kal v'chomer in the context of whether or not there's a Gzeira d'Rabbanan or there's not a Gzeira d'Rabbanan. So just an interesting usage of Kal v'chomer in our Gemara over here. Mental note. So the Eino Achelas B'Tshuma, Achik Tikanes L'Chuppah. And the reason why the Chachamim blocked an Arusa from eating Truma until she goes through with Chuppah is Mishum De'ula, is because the Gzera of Ula, again, the Gzera of Ula is Shemi Yamazik Leikos. She may go back home to her family, and she may share the Truma together with her family. Okay, Adkat. So that's Ravina's understanding of the whole debate between Rav Yehuda ben Bezira and Rav Yochanan ben Bagbag. And the only reason why we bring it in over here is because anyway we quoted the Braisa. So once we quoted the Braisa, it's actually Sifrei. Once we quote it, so the Gemara quotes the entirety of it. Now, on the top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, U ben Bagbag, Simpon Bavadim Leislei, Imomu Shebeguluhu Akachazilei, Imomu Shebeseser My Nafkalei Mina, Lamalacha Kabayilei. Now, Ben Bagbag, once again, if he were there and he were listening to the argument of Rav Yehuda ben Bezira, he would destroy the argument of Rav Yehuda ben Bezira for the following reason. He says, look, when you're talking about a Kohen marrying a woman, so there I can understand Simpon being an issue. Meaning, she has a blemish, it's covered, and they're going to be husband and wife and they're going to be intimate with one another, and he's got to know whether or not she has a blemish that she didn't tell him, and it just wouldn't, it won't facilitate a healthy marriage. If he knew about it, he never would have given her a Kesef Kiddushin. But let's talk about Simpon as it relates to Shifcha Kananis. They're not going to have relations with one another. It's an employment relationship. So all he cares is, can she do the work and can she not do the work? So if she's missing an arm, he'll notice. Meaning, that's what the Gemara's argument was. So if she, let's say for example, is missing an arm, okay, he'll know that at the market when he's buying her as a Shifcha Kananis. And if it's because mumim shebeseser, and if it's because of a hidden mum, what does the owner of a Shifcha Kananis care? Meaning it's an employment relationship. It's just an employment relationship, so he literally doesn't care. So Ben Bagbag would look at Rav Yehuda ben Bezira and say to him, how can you compare a Kohen marrying a woman and a Kohen buying a Shifcha Kananis? If the issue is Simpon, the difference is a fundamental difference in terms of the nature of relationship. And lo ichbar lei, and he simply doesn't care in the case of Shifcha Kananis. Now, nimtza ganav kav Yusuf. Now, let's say the Shifcha Kananis that he buys has just a terrible habit. Let's say she is a kleptomaniac. She steals all the time. Or let's say Kovyustos. Now, Rashi over here writes that Kovyustos is a kidnapper. Tosus over here says you don't have to go that extreme. That you don't. We're not talking about such that kind of bad habit. Tosus says, you know what Kovyustos means? It means a gambler. Right? We just saw this back in Sanhedrin. Misachik Bekubia. Right. In other words, let's say the Eved Kanani or the Shifcha Kanani is just simply a bad habit, a thief or a gambler. So higiyon. It's unfortunate, but That's what you got. Meaning, you got a Shivcha Kanani, so you got an Eved Kanani with a little bit of a gambling problem or a little bit of a stealing problem. Maya Mart, Listem Mizuyim, Onichta Vlamachos. Now, what are you worried about? Maybe something much more extreme where he holds people up at gunpoint or he Nichta Vlamachos. The king, he did something so egregious to the king, the king's going to want to kill him. Hanukala Islu. So the Gemara says, everyone knows about that. Everyone knows about that. And Rashi writes, Uvisavar V'kibal. And you know about it. Meaning, that's something where we can honestly say, buyer beware. Right? This Eved Kanani that you're going to buy, when he's on the open market, everyone's going to know if he has not just a minor gambling problem, but everyone's going to know if he holds people up at gunpoint, or if the king wants him and wants to kill him. So, and you took the risk, and you should have known, and there was the expectation is that the buyer should know? Fine. You should have known. Okay. Adkan. I shouldn't say Adkan, but that is now going to be our second round of the Braisa, of the discourse and disagreement between Rav Yehuda ben Becerra and Yochanan ben Bazbag. One last point to consider, says the Gemara. What we've seen so far is that when a kohen marries an arusa, she can't eat truma. For one of two different reasons. One reason is simpon, because she may have a physical blemish that currently is being hidden, and they haven't been intimate together one with another, and therefore, he doesn't know, and if he finds out, it may be a deal breaker, because had he been told, he never would have been Mekadisha. It's interesting, the Gemara does not assume that he should be doing due diligence before the Kedushin. We've said it a number of times already. I mean, I'm not asking a question. I'm just stating a fact. It's just a fact. There's no expectation of due diligence before the Kedushin. I think it's a little bit strange, but okay. I'm only saying that because Kedushin means they're married. Now, if there is a simpon, there's no requirement of a get. It's a mekach taos. The Kedushin is no good. But one could imagine that there should be some sort of due diligence before Kedushin. But anyway, it's just not the case.
She'll still marry a Kohen.
Huh?
She'll need to marry a Kohen.
Yeah, in other words, it's a Mekach Taos. It's not a Kedushin. The Kedushin was just simply no good. So one reason why a woman who is an Arusa cannot eat Truma is because of Simpon. And then there's a second reason which we gave, which is Ula's reason. And Ula's reason is that she may take some of the Truma back to her home and share it with her family. Those are two different reasons why the Chachamah made a Gzera. And the Gemara Kedarka B'Kodesh wants to know, what would be a Nafkamina? What's the practical difference between these two reasons that are given? And so the Gemara gives a number of them. Michti. The Gemara says we're in Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph. We're about eight lines from the top of the Amud. Bein Lamar, Lo Achla. So whatever the rabbinic reason is that she can't eat Truma during her Erusin period, she can't eat it. So why do we need to give two different reasons? So my Beinayu Kibanayu, Kibel Masar Vahalach. So the Gemara says, well, there is going to be a nafkamina. There's going to be a practical difference between these reasons. The way Rashi learns this Gemara right now is that the Gemara just gave three different. The Gemara didn't really even bother explaining. Meaning, it's Rashi Prakim, I should say. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi takes us through all three. Kibbal Masar V'Halach, Rashi says, Simenhu. This is a mnemonic. And here's how it's going to work. Rashi, number one, Kibbal. Kibbal Lav is a mumma mishum simpon like a mishum de'ula ika. Okay. Now, let's say when a man marries a woman, a kohen marries his arusa, and he says, you know what? This is going to be such a successful marriage, and the love is so strong that, you know what, I don't care what kind of physical blemish you have, right? A third eyeball, bring it on. It doesn't matter. I'm accepting upon myself any physical blemish that you have. He says it. Okay, so under those circumstances, can she eat truma? Well, it depends. If the reason why she can't eat truma is because of simpon, well, he signed a waiver. There's not going to be any blemish that's going to undo the marriage. If the issue is she's going to go back to her family and share with her family, well, that's still an issue. That's nafkamina number one. Two, says Rashi, Masar. Ha'av l'shlucho ha-ba'al, shahalchu shluchei av im shluchei ha-ba'al, v'oda baderech. So, let's say she was given over to the shlichim of the husband. Okay, so in other words, it's erusin, but at the same time, she basically was handed over to now his shliach, or the shluchim of the father went together with the shluchim of the baal. The oda baderech, and they're walking. Mishum simpon ika. Now, at this point in time, they haven't yet been intimate with one another. He doesn't know of any of the physical blemishes. So if simpon is the issue, it may come up. And if it does come up, so that'll be mevatel the kedushin. It'll be a mekachtaos. And therefore, any of the truma, if she ate it, would be illegitimate. She wouldn't have been allowed to have eaten the truma. But mishum shema tashke leka. But if the issue is sharing it with her family, well, she now is en route to her new husband. She's not turning around. She's not going back with her family. Under those circumstances, she'd be allowed to eat truma. So I'm sorry. Leka delisnehu lachia lachosa gabal. Right, she's en route, she's walking, she's heading towards a new husband. Under those circumstances, there wouldn't be an issue of sharing it with her family. So, Masav HaHalach really are, even though it's 2 and 3, it really is the same basic idea. Once she is heading towards her Kohen husband, even though Chuppah has not yet occurred, but because she's not going back, she's not turning around, she's not going back home again, at that point in time, if the only issue was sharing with her family, that's no longer a concern, and therefore she can eat Truma. Okay.
Would the gezeira really care anything? What the reason is?
Well, the
once they
Right. In other words, sometimes the Gemara gives us the reason behind the gezeira, and then the Gemara explains, well, if that's the reason, so then, and then other times the Gemara just simply says it's a gezeira, and you know we could guess the reasons, but the Chachamim don't give it away, and then we have nothing to talk about. But here in this discussion, the Chachamim were very clear in terms of why the reason was. Okay, but you're right. It's a good observation. All right. It took 10 short blot, but we're finally done now with the first line of the Mishnah. Okay, the Mishnah starts off, Aisha nikdes b'shosha derachim. A woman is acquired in one of three ways. Kones atzma b'shei derachim. And she acquires herself in one of two ways. Nikdes b'kesef b'shar b'biya. Okay, so, and she acquires herself with kesef shar b'biya. That's it. That was the first two lines of the Mishnah all the way back on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. And now, for the last 10 days, since the beginning of the Masechta, we've been operating, trying to understand those first two lines. We move on. Now, how much money does he have to give her in order to effect the Kedushin? So the Mishnah brings down a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says, bedinar, uvishav dinar. It has to be the value of a dinar. And then Beis Hillel says, pruta, uvishav pruta. And Beis Hillel says, a pruta. Now, the position of Beis Hillel is easy, because we know that throughout halacha, the smallest denomination that has halachic significance is a pruta. You really are not, like we've said now numerous times, she's not selling herself. He's not buying her. Right? What he's doing is he's buying a status. She's going to go from being a non-married woman to a married woman. If there is a kinyan involved, the kinyan involves her giving herself over to him. So we're not really attaching a value to her. That's not what is going on. So, it just has to be that it has to be a formal kinyan done with money. Beis Hillel's position is so easy to understand. Give her the smallest amount that has legal significance in halacha, which is a pruta. A pruta or a shava pruta. So Beis Hillel's position is easily understood. I just explained it. But according to Beis Shammai, no, not a pruta, a dinar. Wait one second. Where is it? Dinar is obviously much more than a pruta. But once you're upping the number, so all of a sudden, what now becomes the explanation for that number? And again, it can't be that her value really is out of a dinar. We're not attaching a value to her. So once you're going above a pruta, so why is it now that it's above a pruta? Oh, it's got to be a dinar. It seems to be now that's an arbitrary number. And so the Gemara for the rest of today's daf, and into tomorrow's daf as well, is going to try to find some rationale behind the position of Beis Shammai. Now again, this is a perfect example of Torahi. Meaning, we don't pass like Beis Shammai. We pass like Beis Hillel. The Gemara is going to spend the daf of Gemara dedicated to understanding Beis Shammai? Correct. Yes. That's how Gemara operates. So because of Beis Shammai, the Beis Shammai, what is the reason behind the position of Beis Shammai? Okay. I'm Rabbi Zera. So here we go. The Gemara is going to go cycle through a couple of explanations. We start today with the explanation of Rabbi Zera. Shekein isha makperes al atzma ve'in miskadeshes bepachos bidinar. Because of the hakpara of the woman. A pruta, I'm going to be married for just a pruta. That's a small denomination. In fact, that's the smallest denomination back then. It'd be, just as I say by way of analogy, I'm not saying in terms of actual equivalency, it's like a penny, right? A penny, right? That's what the Kedushin is going to go for. Now, again, it's a hakpada, meaning, again, even the dinar is not really assigning a value to what she is, but it's just this idea that I'm not going to give away my status for anything less than a dinar. Okay, so that's Rabbi Zera's explanation. So, ein mekadesh bebachos midinar. Amale Abaye elamiata kigom banti derav yanai. So Abaye says, really, you think this has anything to do with her akpada? The Gemara says, look, I'll give you an example. The example of the daughters of Rabbi Yanai. They are kaptana nafshayhu. They're super makpid. They have a very high standard. When they get married, they're only going to accept for themselves. Tarkov says Rashi is 3 dinari. Rashi over here says golden dinarim. So these women have such a high level. So hachinami di pasha yada v'kabla chazuzah me'acher hachinami d'lahav kedushin. And you mean to tell me that according to Beit Shammai, if they accepted a dinar from somebody, well, that's simply not going to work? Can be. Meaning that what Beis Shammai is offering is an objective dollar amount. A dinar. And you're telling me that, according to Rabbi Zera, that the whole thing is contingent on her akpada. Well, that if that's true, well then, these daughters who have such a high standard, you mean to tell me that for them, the currency figure, the dollar figure is going to be different? Because their level of akpada is going to be different? Hard to imagine. So Amalei Pashta Yadav Kibla Lo Kamina. So he says, no. If they accept a dinar, well then God bless them. And not only God bless them, but they're married. Of course. And Beis Shammai is giving a standardized dollar amount. It is a dinar. But Ki Kamina Dikansha Balaila Inami Deshav Yishliach. What I'm telling you, however, is let's say that these women were given an amount and they simply couldn't see how much the amount was. If they see the amount and they accept it, so good, they accept it. But if they don't see the amount, so then, yes, if you have the daughters of Rav Yanai, who are so makpid, and let's say someone mailed, it's not a great example, but mailed the money to them. So for them, if they don't know what the amount is, they wouldn't give themselves over for anything less than 3 golden dinarim. But if they see the money and they accept the money, so then yeah, a dinar would be fine. Okay. This is now suggestion number one in terms of why Beis Shammai requires a dinar as opposed to a pruta. It has to do with that women generally are makpid. Now, by the way, even within this argument of Rabbi Zera, let's say a woman does not have a high standard. And let's say a woman were to accept a pruta. According to this explanation of Rabbi Zera, would Beis Shammai then end up agreeing with Beis Hillel? Hard to imagine. Right? Unlikely. And I guess what you're then going to have to say is something along the lines of is that what Beis Shammai was setting was what's the general standardized hakpada of women? I don't know how we arrived at this number. I guess you'd have to understand back then what the general value of a dinar was and what it bought you. But what Beis Shammai was doing was standardizing. This is what generally women are makpid on. And the fact that one or two women go below that, again, the Gemara doesn't say all this. I'm saying all this, and I could be absolutely wrong. But what the Gemara, what we then would have to say is, but ladaita etzel kol adam. The fact that one or two women, or whatever, a minority of women have a standard that's lower, that's the standard according to Beis Shammai is set at a dinar. Okay. Number two. Our second explanation of Beit Shammai is Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef Amar Tamai, the Beit Shammai Kid Rav Yehuda Marav. Kid Rav Yehuda Maravasi. Tam Rav Yehuda Maravasi, call Kesef Amor Betara, Kesef Tsuri, Mishal Divrayim, Kesef Bindina. So, anytime you see the word Kesef in the Torah, it's a reference to Kesef Tsuri. And if it is Kesef of things that are only operating on a Durabban level, Kesef Shel Medina. Excuse me. What are we talking about over here? So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi explains. Kol Kesef Amor B'Torah Kesef Tzuri Im Pirish Shkalim Havei Shekel Tzuri V'Im Stam Havei Matbea HaPechusa Shebet Tzuri. Okay. We're going to see this and we're going to discuss this today and once again tomorrow. This idea that there were basically two different types of coins that were minted. The Kesef Tzuri, coins that were minted from, in English you would call it Tyre, but the Tzuri coin was made up exclusively of silver. It was not a compound, it was not an alloy, it was made exclusively of silver. Therefore, its value was predicated on the actual metal content that was contained in the coin. That's the Kesef Tzuri. Masha Enkin, when it comes to Kesef Medina, so that was a metal, that was an alloy. It was made up of one part silver, seven parts copper. So it's really analogous to our penny. And our penny doesn't have any silver. But anyway, the point being is that its metal content does not really indicate its value. It's more symbolic of value than of actual value. So we have a rule, the Gemara says, in the name of Rav Yehuda, in the name of Rav Asi, that any time the Torah demands money be exchanged, so then it has to be Kesef Tzuri. Then it has to be silver coins. Any time that this money is only required on a rabbinic level, so then we can quote-unquote cheat. It's not really cheating. But then you can quote-unquote cheat, and you can use the Kesef Medina, the non-silver coin, the mostly copper coin. Now, with all that stated, let's take a look at the next Rashi. Vishal Divrayim, Kesef Medina, Lekama Mefarsh La Kesef Medina, Shmini Shebe Kesef Tzuri, Imselah Hu Shmini Shebe Sela Tzuri, V'im Dinar Hu Shmini Shebe Dinar Tzuri. Okay, it's an eighth. And for the reason that I explained. Because really, the Kesef Medina is only made up of one-eighth of actual silver. Hilkuch pruta lamatzis lamema lefishihi shal nechoshes uvitzuri matbeah shal nechoshes like of a kedushin kesef ksiv. Rashi explains that when it comes to kedushin, the Torah demands kesef. How does that work? So again, we get to say this again in our Masechta. Because ksiv da hakicha kicha gemiri. Because of the gzera shava that we learned earlier. Meaning, even though the Torah by kedushin doesn't articulate the word kesef, but it does say the word kicha, ki yikach ish isha, and then we go back to Avram Avinu purchasing the Maras HaMachpela, where there the Torah says kesef, v'kevin da'afikta mipruta, ama mida dechashivos baye. Now the Torah is demanding kesef, so therefore it has to be the smallest silver denomination coin, which is a dinar, by ukme a dinar kidalakaman. And that's why it has to be a dinar. Good? That is now going to be our second explanation of Beit Shammai. This is one provided by Rav Yosef. Let's go on in the Gemara, Gufa. We're three lines from the bottom on Yud Aleph, Amen Aleph. The Gemara goes back. Amar Rav Yudam, Rav Asi, Kol Kesef, Amor B'Torah, Kesef Tzuri, Vishal Divrayim, Kesef Medina. If the Torah wants us to give Kesef, it has to be the Kesef Tzuri, the all silver coin. And then if it's just Midrabanan, so then it could be even Kesef Medina. Kalahu. The Gemara says, is this a general rule? Vare Taina Dichsi, the Gemara says, consider the following. What if I have a claim and a counterclaim? We know the halacha is that if I make a claim against another person and I say, you owe me $100, and he comes back at me and he makes a counterclaim, I owe you, but not 100, I owe you just 50. So this is what's called modem mimiksas, and therefore he is going to make a shvua min ha-Torah. The shvua of modem mimiksas is the shvua min ha-Torah. Now, what exactly is the parameter in terms of how much the claim has to be? And how much does the counterclaim have to be? And this is taught us in the following Mishnah. First, we quote the Pasuk. Let's say a man gives another person kesef or kelim, either money or kelim. and for the purpose of Shmira. And once again, the guy comes back and says, hey, could you give it back to me? And the claim is, give me back my either Kesef or Kalim. And the counterclaim is, well, I don't have all of it, but I have some of it. Okay, so in other words, the standard case of Modim Mixas. How much does the claim have to be? How much does the counterclaim have to be? So now we learn together the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Shvus Adayanim Hatana Shte Kesef Vehaudah Shava Pruta. So, in terms of the requirement of a shvua, so the claim has to be two coins, and the admission has to be a shavapruta. So, two coins, how come it comes out to two coins? Where did that come from? In fact, if you look back at the pasuk, the Torah says, kesef. How did kesef get to become two coins? So the Gemara explained, tasam dumya dekalim. Well, the Gemara says, yeah, but you look at the context. Look back at the pasuk. It says, Kesef, O Kalim. Now, I know Kesef is written in the singular, but it's put right alongside Kalim, which is clearly the plural. Ma Kalim Shnayim, Av Kesef Shnayim. Now, once we have the plural and it's undefined, we've said time and again, an undefined plural is always going to be two. Tafasta Maruba Lo Tafasta. Mm-hmm. So the undefined plural is always going to be two. So now if the Kalim is two, the Kesef is also going to be two. Oma Kesef Dever Chashev, Av Kalim Dever Chashev. Now Kesef obviously is significant. So to the Kalim. So that is why Kesef over there, we arrived at the conclusion that Kesef over there is two. Fine. Vare Meiser, Dichsi Vetzarta Kesef Yadecha. Now let's talk about Meiser. When we have Meiser Sheni, and we're going to redeem the Meiser Sheni. How's Meiser Sheni redeemed? It's redeemed onto, the Torah says, Kesef, Vitzanan. And now let's learn a Mishnah together. This is a Mishnah of Meiser Sheni. Haparit Sela Mi Ma'os Meiser Sheni Kesef. I'm sorry. Mi Ma'os Meiser Sheni. What just happened? The Mishnah over there describes where you have various copper coins. And now you want to basically exchange the copper coins for silver coins. So the Mishnah Meister Sheni says you're allowed to do that. Copper coins? What are we talking about? The Torah is demanding Kesef, and our ground rules are that anytime the Torah demands Kesef, it's got to be silver coins. Why is the Mishnah Meister Sheni talking about where his Meister Sheni coins that he has in his house, where he redeemed the Meister Sheni onto them, are copper coins? What is going on? So the Gemara says, Kesef, Ha Kesef, Riba. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's an exception to the rule, because the Torah says, Vitzarta, Ha Kesef. The Hay is additional, and the Hay is telling me that it's not limited to just silver coins. Vare Hektesh, Ichsivanasama Kesef, Kamlo. The Gemara says, well, what about Hektesh? If I have something that belongs to the base of Mikdash, meaning something was mukdash, and now I want to redeem it. We're not talking about animals. Animals are not redeemable. We're talking about basically anything else. So you can redeem it, and the Torah says you can redeem it onto Kesef. V'amar Shmuel, Hektesh Shava, Manash Shechila, Shava, Pruta, Mechulal. Now Shmuel tells us the rule, and when we get to Seder Kachim, we're going to see this rule again and again, and that is that when you do redemption of Hektesh, it doesn't have to be dollar for dollar redemption. It could be redemption even on a pruta. Now, from our perspective, we're only bothered by one issue. Pruta? A pruta is a copper coin. How can you redeem Hektesh onto a copper coin? Didn't you say that the rule is anytime the Torah says the word kesef, it has to be silver? Hasam nami, kesef, kesef, yalev me meiser. So the Gemara says, yeah, but over there we have a gzera shava, linking the kesef of meiser to the kesef of Hektesh. Vare kiddusha isha dichsiv kika chish isha vala v'gamar kicha kicha misei afron utanad beisal omen bre'pruta v'sheva pruta. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. What about kiddusha isha? Where the Torah says kesef. Again, the Torah says kesef only through the gzera shava. But okay, Torah says kesef. And yet, we know that when it comes to kesef kiddushin, Beis Hillel says it could be a pruta or a shava pruta. Neimar Ravasi d'amar ke Beis Shammai. So now, what do you want to tell me? That this rule of Ravasi only is limited to the position of Beis Shammai? The Gemara says, I can't imagine. So, Ella I idma hachi idmar. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to have to go back and we're going to have to revisit the whole premise. And now it's going to go like this. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi, Kol Kesef Katsuv Ha'amor B'Torah Kesef Tzuri. If the Torah not only says Kesef, but also with a specific amount, then it has to be silver coins. Masha Ein Kain. I'm sorry, Vishal Divrayam Kesef Medina. Mm-hmm. And if it's anything that's Midrabanan, so then it could be the non-silver coins. The Kesef Medina, the alloy coins that are mostly copper and just a little bit silver. My Kamash Malan Tanina. So the Gemara says, once again, we're not learning anything new here. Meaning this is a statement made by Ravasi, an Amora. The Gemara says, let's learn a Mishnah together. Chamesh Shalayim Shal Ben, Shloshim Shal Evan, Chamishim Shal Onez V'Shal Mefata, Meah Shal Motzi Shemra. Basically, we have just exhausted all the times in the Torah where the Torah says Kesef and gives a specific amount. One, you have your firstborn son, you redeem him, 5 Shalayim to the Kohen. Two, if your animal kills an Eved Kenani of somebody else, you have to pay the owner, Shloshim Kesef. Three, a man who violates a woman or seduces a woman has to pay a fine of Chamishim Kesef. Four, if a man is Motzi Shemra on his new wife and was caught lying, so he has to pay his wife 100 Kesef. That's it. This is a list in the Torah of fines where we have Kesef and we have a specific amount as well. And they're not all fines. The pigeon of Ben is not a fine.
Kesef
is a shekel. Shekel and kesef are synonymous. We'll talk more about that, but they're synonymous. But that's you're right though. Now so Motzi Shema kulam b'shekel hakodesh b'manitzuri. So they all have to be shekel hakodesh, and they all have to be of silver coins. V'shal devrayim kesef medina, and if it's shel devrayim, and if the requirement is only midrabanan, so it's kesef medina. So now our question is the following. If all the Ravasi is telling us is that when the Torah talks about money, kesef or shekel, and the Torah gives a fixed amount of how much it should be, so it needs to be silver. This is all wonderful, but I don't need Ravasi to teach me this. This is all clearly articulated in the Mishnah we just learned together. So what do I need Ravasi for? It's the Rechle. So we'll finish today with the following. No, I need Ravasi. Delotanan. Detanya. Atokela chaver nosen lo sela. Let's say, this is in the in Baba Kama, let's say I hit somebody in the ear or I blow a horn right up against somebody's ear, and so I damage him. So how much do I have to pay? A sela. V'lotema my sela arba zuzay. Now, sela over there does not mean 4 zuz, although sela normally does mean 4 zuz. But ela my sela pag de zuza. Sela over there means a half of a zuz. David inshit the karla pag de zuza istara. Because in it's common for somebody to call the half zuz an istara. So there, as an example where I do damage to somebody, and the payment, by the way, parenthetically, the payment over there is not for the physical damage, but it's for the boshes that he suffered. Okay, but either way, the point being is that for that, I need Rav Asi to tell me that since that's the payment, and that's a boshes payment, so therefore the coin that I have to pay is the seller, which is half of, the sela over there that has to be paid is only has to be a sela medina, not a sela tsuri. Okay. And that's the only addition, so to say, that Rav Asi is making to our discussion. Okay, let's just wrap it up. Let's quickly summarize. We talked today, we finally went through two times over the discussion between Rav Yehuda ben Becerra and Yochanan ben Bagbag in terms of whether or not an Arusa who's married to a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. The first round we were talking on a Deraisa level. On the second round we were talking about a Derabana level. Either way, an Arusa cannot eat Truma for two different reasons. Number one, Simpon, because maybe a blemish will be discovered undoing the Kedushin. Or two, she may share the Truma together with her family because she's not yet living with her husband. Gemara gave three different nafkaminas in terms of what the difference is between these two Gzerah Derabanan. And then for the remainder of today's daf, we discussed the Shita Beit Shama, that when a woman is going to be miskadeshes with kesef, so she needs an amount. How much? Machlok is in the Mishnah between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says a dinar. Beis Hillel says a pruta. What's the reason behind Beis Shammai? We so far offered today two explanations. Rabbi Zera, it has to do with the fact that women are generally makpid, and a pruta is just simply not going to be enough. Rabbi Yosef's explanation, since the Torah demands kesef, so therefore it has to be kesef tsuri, and the smallest kesef tsuri denomination is a dinar.